just rise up in the name of Jesus and take their stance and their authority and who they are in Christ. And I command all darkness to go. I command eyesight right now, complete sight in the name of Jesus. I command all paralysis symptoms to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Complete paralysis symptoms go right now in Jesus' name. Complete freedom, complete restoration right now. Spirit of fear, we command you to leave right now in the name of Jesus. I feel like fear is just gripping this church, and it is time to go. You have no right here. You have no authority here. In Jesus' name, I just command everybody in this church to just rise up. Rise up in who you are in Christ, because you have an authority that you just need to receive and take hold of. In the name of Jesus, we command all evil to leave right now. In Jesus' name, I command the Holy Spirit to just come through this room and to just completely make everyone rise to their feet right now. Everyone stand in agreement. All dark forces leave right now. In the name of Jesus, complete freedom in Jesus Christ's holy name. Command a fresh anointing right now in the name of Jesus. Complete freedom. Complete freedom in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Receive that. It's coming from God. That's the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation. Each and every one of you that has been baptized in the Holy Spirit has encountered an unction in your spirit to say or do something in particular in the church. Don't be afraid to get my attention, and I'll acknowledge you. If you have a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, if you have a message in tongues, if you have something, stand up and we'll attend to it. And it'll be just like that. God will always have order. He's not the author of confusion. He'll always have order in His church. Amen? So you were praying in tongues a little bit too. And you had the interpretation. So, sometimes you can pray in tongues and have the interpretation. Amen? Amen? And a word of knowledge. And wisdom. See, there's four gifts of the Holy Spirit right there. Don't ever let anybody tell you you can only operate in two or three. Those are four in one whack. Five. We'll take part in His medicine. If you really want to get a heavy revelation on the communion, spend $3.50 and get the book on communion from Joseph Prince. $3.50. And it's a fun read, and you'll learn a lot. But he shows you a lot about what a lot of the church struggles with today. How many of you have been told to examine yourselves before you take communion so you don't take it unworthily? Now, how many of you felt unworthy to take communion after you examine yourselves every Sunday for how many Sundays in a row? You know why? Because it's not supposed to be about you. It's supposed to be about Jesus. The church has these crazy little ideas. They get people into keeping the law while they're supposed to be saved by grace. You see how that happens? The devil uses that. He gets people into this works thing, and it causes frustration and defeat. Paul said the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. That's how you partake of it unworthily, by not discerning the body of Christ. How many of you have been raced through communion with a cheap rice wafer and a little cup, but they say just take this and go? You know, I ask people, say, why do you take communion? They say, well, you don't ever put tithes in an offering plate without taking communion. That's what we do on the second Sunday of every month. That's what we do on the first Sunday of every month. That's just what we do every Sunday. So, but why? I don't know. For our healing, our health. When you discern the body of Christ, you can expect to have healing and health in your body. This bread is made without yeast. It's matzah bread. And this is exactly the way God said to make it, so we can discern the body of Christ. And he gave us the directions way before the New Testament come about. This matzah bread is made without yeast. The body of Jesus was without sin. Yeast is significant of sin. It's a perfect, sinless man. And this bread has been beaten flat. It's flattened out, beaten. Jesus was beaten and bruised for us. And if you look at this bread, there's stripes in it. And it's by his stripes, we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. Jesus' body was pierced, certainly when he was on the cross. The Roman soldier thrust a spear into his side. But he was pierced in his hands and in his feet and in his head. And everywhere he shed his blood, he got redemption for us in some area. Also, this bread is slightly burned when Jesus was on that cross. God laid the full wrath of his fiery judgment on Jesus. That wrath that was meant for us, Jesus took it. Now we can stand in God's presence as though nothing ever happened. His body was broken for us. We're taking this for our healing and well-being in Jesus' name. Jesus did not spill his blood. It was shed on purpose. It was a messy, bloody, vicious sacrifice. Everywhere Jesus shed his blood, we got redemption for it. It's by his blood that our sins are completely washed away. We get protection from his blood. If you don't know anything else, plead the blood of Jesus. His blood seals in the New Testament promises for us. And it's because of his blood that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and we can stand in God's presence as though there was nothing wrong, because the wrong has been taken away. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You want to know a curious thing about God? He goes out of his way to meet your needs. In spite of yourself. He goes out of his way to meet our needs. That's good news for us. We think we know what we got to do. But really we need to look to him. Look at John chapter 4 and I know you all read this account at some point, but have you identified with this account? You'll have to stop and you'll have to learn a little bit about the geography and the traditions and the area and the times. You have to sit there and daydream a little bit. How many of you daydream? They tried to beat that out of me when I was in school. But daydreaming is vitally important for us today. We have to stop. We have to look at these accounts of the Bible and think about them. Play them through our minds. Daydream about them. Think about them. Think about the traditions. Think about the area. Think about what's going on. I'm going to read this account. It's kind of a long read, but bear with me. I'll mumble my way through it as good as I can. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, so Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and parted again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself, and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. We witnessed that just a second ago. Praying in tongues brought knowledge up from God to deliver to the church. That's a well of living water springing up from within. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. He whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Yet you worship, you know not, you know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Okay, there's a lot going on there, and I'm going to show you how we identify with this. You can't even imagine what I just read, how we could possibly imagine, how we can identify with all this stuff here. First thing I want you to look at is verse 4. He must needs go to Samaria. Well, verse 3 says, He left Judea and departed into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Must needs. Well, here's the thing about going from where Jesus was to get to Galilee. If he went through Samaria, it was 3 days closer to go through Samaria. But the Jews would go 3 days out of their way to avoid the Samaritans. Verse 5 says that he went to Sychar, which means falsehood and drunkenness. It was a name of reproach. How many Christians do we have today that avoid these places of reproach, that avoid these people with a shady life? How many Christians do we have today that avoid alcoholics in town? How many Christians do we have today that avoid the scoundrels? How many Christians do we have today that won't go to the dark side of town? See, a lot of the church finds itself in the same shoes as the Jews of that day. They got a good religion. They got what they call a good thing going. But they want to avoid doing the one thing that Jesus said to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, every single body. Jesus qualified everybody to hear the gospel. Notice, he didn't say, go into this part of town and preach the gospel. I had a guy tell me he was anointed to preach the gospel to the extremely rich people. I said, really? I spend more time talking to poor folks, to alcoholics, you know, people living on the street, people in jail. How do I get that anointing to preach to the real rich people? This is the big thing. When I'm starting out, people will come out and say, well, I've been called to go to the PBR. I've been called to go to the PRCA to preach to these guys. Well, there's a line of preachers 5 miles long waiting to go preach to the PBR guys. Go preach to the PRCA guys. But it was me and my friend, a couple of my friends, we were at the county jail. That's where we were called to go to, evidently. There wasn't any long lines of preachers there. There was two or three of us going in there. I thought about this for a long time. Why am I in the back streets, you know, the places where you get a black eye or a bloody lip? You know, the rough areas of town and the jails and places nobody else wants to go. And all these other guys evidently are called to go to these fantastic places. And then it hit me one day. There's no offering plates in the places I was going. If there was any money given out, it was me giving out to them. Nobody was interested in going there. I can't think of any of them people that are being used by God in any significant way. But you got to be willing to do the first thing in order to get to the second thing. You know, don't worry about if you think your task is a super small task. Go talk to the Samaritans. They need God's love too. Everybody does. Jesus qualified all of them. He went to this town of Sychar. He went to this drunken place. Yeah, this is the Lord of glory. And he went there to help people. All of them. He's an interesting thing. I can only imagine what was going through this woman's mind when she is walking up to this well. And here's this handsome, young Jewish man sitting at the well. Doesn't sound too odd, does it? Other than that he's in Samaria. But the tradition in that time, the single guys, when they wanted to get married, would go sit at the well and wait for the women to come draw water. So this woman she's going to this well, and here's Jesus. Well, can you imagine what was going through her head? Go to verse 16. It says, hit me. Go to John 3:16 before we go to chapter 4:16. Go to 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Did you notice that? The whole world. He didn't say the Jews. He didn't say this part of Israel. He didn't say this part of America. He said the world. Everybody. All of them. All of them. I mean, he saved Paul. That was reaching out there a little ways. I mean, the guy's name was Saul. And his profession was Christian torturing. He had a license and taking him to jail. But he saved him. And then he goes to Samaria. Now here he's talking to this woman with a questionable past. Don't ever let your past determine your future. The blood of Jesus took care of your past. And now he's trying to get you to get into agreement with him so that he can make your future. Look at verse 16. For God, verse 16 says, Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou know hast is not thy husband, and that says thou truly. The gift of knowledge was in operation right there. Jesus already knew she didn't have a husband. Why did he ask her that question? He didn't ask her that question to humiliate her or to point out her wrong. He was doing this to help her get to freedom. Jesus asked her in verse 16, he asked this question to help her locate herself. The thing about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're never ever to hurt people. They're always to lead people to a revelation of where they are and where they need, how they can get to where they need to be. So they get to freedom. Jesus used his word of knowledge to get her opened up about what was going on in her life. Not so he could put his thumb on her, but so he could bring her to freedom. It's never about just one person. See, Jesus taught us to be sowers. We have to go about our day sowing the word. Keep sowing, keep sowing. You never know what's going to spring forth. Now, go all the way down here to verse 35 of that chapter. say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, where they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receives wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he and both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Sometimes you're the sower, sometimes you're the reaper, sometimes you're both. But right now is the time. Churches are big on waiting days, planning special days for revivals. You know, we'll wait until spring, we'll have a big party, we'll have a revival. Wait until fall, we'll have a big party, have a revival. Well, wait until this certain day, we'll have a party, have a big revival. Every single day is the time for revival. Every single day is the time to sow and reap. You know, sometimes you're just a sower, but that's your job. You're to sow the word. Sometimes you're the reaper. Just know this, that somebody already sowed the word in that man's heart so he can get born again. Sometimes you sow and reap in the same conversation. Now, that was our lesson on missionary work. To be about this. Be about this harvest. This harvest of souls. Now go to verse 39. And we're going to see what happened here. Because of Jesus ministering to this Samaritan woman that nobody else wanted anything to do. Can you imagine the town, how she must have been treated? A homewrecker, a harlot, a husband stealer. You imagine how downbeat she must have been? How bad she must have felt about herself, having no self-esteem? Everybody that comes in contact with her said, just get out of the way. You're no good. You're trouble. This in a town of drunkenness and deceit. Already lives in a bad place, and then the choices of her lifestyle made her feel even worse. Can you imagine how dehumanized she must have felt? How lonely she must have felt? How bad she must have felt. And then Jesus goes where nobody else would go to talk to her. Spend some time with her. And minister to her. And look what happened here. As a result of that. In verse 39, it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of your saying, we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Don't ever think that anybody is ever too insignificant to talk to. It drives me crazy when I hear people pray in a church that that God will send qualified or the right people to church. All of them are the right people. The Bible says that all that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. That means all. And that's not saying that there won't be troublemakers show up and you got to deal with that at some point. But God wants people to know that they can go to church. And it's not up to us to pre-qualify people. Jesus already pre-qualified them. He said all of them. All means all. I want you to notice 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And we'll get it wrapped up here. You should spend some time in these five verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That means you, when you get born again, you get made a new creature. A new creature never existed before. You're a new creature, and a new creature has no past. As far as God is concerned, your past has been washed away by the shed blood of Jesus. Now he's interested in your future. He's interested in your now. Don't let your past qualify you one way or another for what God says he wants you to do. People do that all the time. I can't go preach to these people because I was the town drunk. I can't go preach to these people because I'm divorced. I can't go preach to these people because of my past life. Well, who do you think you are? Are you a fire from the loins up and a fire from the loins down? No? Then shut up and go do what God tells you to do. I promise you, if I went by my feelings, I wouldn't have preached my first sermon. I go by only what God tells me to do. Verse 18 says, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. See that? He reconciled us to himself by Jesus. Same way that Samaritan woman got reconciled by Jesus. And he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The same way that woman went into town, the town of reproach, the town that looked at her as a reproach, and reconciled them unto God. You know, it was her testimony. She went in there and told them people about her encounter with God. And what happened? They got reconciled. You know, she could have said, I can't go talk to these people. These guys know about all my different husbands. They know about my husband's stealing habit. They know about everything. And I live in this goofy town. Can you imagine how she could have disqualified herself? You're not the qualifier. Well, I just don't know if I can do what God wants me to do. I'm going to tell you something right now. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. If he calls you to do something, he's going to make sure that you have the tools to get the job done. Amen? Now, he gave us this ministry of reconciliation. To it that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Here's a biggie now. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. I mean, you're going to have to forget how the guy down the street beat on his wife. You have to forget how the guy across the street drinks till he passes out every night. You're going to have to forget how the woman that has been married five times and has children by five different people. You have to forget about that. You know, God's not interested in that. He's interested in you telling them that God's not mad at them and that Jesus will save them if they'll call on His name. We're not in the qualification business. We're in the word sowing business, reconciliation business. Amen? Let's finish up here. Verse 20. Sometimes people get a low vision of themselves. They're looking at themselves in the natural. They're looking at themselves the way maybe the world has always seen them, or maybe they think the world sees them. You know, it's important for us to see ourselves the way God sees us. Amen. You know, the Jews got sent into the promised land to spy it out. And they came back and they said, we see ourselves as grasshoppers in their eyes. They see the giant. The Bible doesn't say the giants seen them as grasshoppers. The Bible says that the Jews seen themselves as grasshoppers. They were looking at themselves in the natural, not in the way God sees them. This is what God says about you. Verse 20 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. You know what an ambassador is? It's a minister of the highest rank. That's you. Say this, I am an ambassador for Christ. I'm a minister of the highest rank. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. For He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. When you understand that because of the blood of Jesus, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you'll take up your position as an ambassador for Christ. Righteousness is one of those religious words that gets kicked around pretty hard, but when you understand that it means in right standing with God. It's a position. It's not a doing. It's a position. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means you've been put into this position of right standing with Him. Whatever was wrong between you and God before you got born again got taken care of. And now, because of that, you are an ambassador of the highest rank. You're an ambassador for Christ. Now, go into all the world, like He said, and preach the gospel. Go tell people about Jesus. Amen? Find the hurting people. Seek out the hurting people. Jesus went where the religious people of His day wouldn't go, so He could go find the hurting people. You know, if He would have kept up with religious tradition of the day, He wouldn't have ministered to that woman. He would have went all the way around Samaria, and they wouldn't have had that revival right there where all those people came to Christ. But He wasn't going to follow what the religious tradition of the day. He was going to be led by the Spirit of God. And because you are the sons of God, you can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. Trust Him to lead you to these places where you can be used to minister to hurting people. Amen? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that Jesus has done for us. On His cross, and in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. We thank You, Father, for everything that Jesus does for us today. As our high priest, making intercession for us, the saints. And Father, we thank you for everything that he will do for us when he comes and takes us out of here and completes our redemption. We praise you for this. We thank you. Until that glorious day comes, we ask you in the name of Jesus to lead us by your Spirit. Help us to learn from our mistakes, to receive your forgiveness by faith, and walk in your power to be used for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we have snacks and coffee and kids. Call back and have some.